Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Ed Staffel, and you're listening to the Dr. Staffel program, and your smile matters. This is a dental program, and we bring you a lot of information about oral health and systemic health. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Last week, I hope you were listening and you heard Dr. Blake Holloway, and we were talking about sugar and the problems with sugar. The immense problems, and of course you can listen to that program on the podcast. If you have a computer, you go to staffeldds.podomatic.com and you can pull that program up. It was originally on January 29, 2017. It's very informational about sugar, and I hope you were able to hear that. If not, we can bring you up to date. There's some things like 76 ways sugar can ruin your health. We can give you copies of that. That's just part of them as well. Just a lot of great information. So we want to keep you informed and keep you encouraged to give up some of these things like. You want to kick the soda habit to the curb. A 12-ounce soda has up to 40 or 39 grams of sugar. And, of course, that's huge. And an 8-ounce glass of juice can have 22 grams. So you're better to stick with just water or seltzer water, like club soda or unsweetened iced tea. And even with your happy hour, a margarita can pack 35 grams of sugar, and instead, if you switch over to drinking dry wines like Pinot Grigio or Sauvignon Blanc, which have fewer than 1 gram per ounce, or sip a vodka and club soda with no added sugar. And then, if you like a cookie after dinner, bite into a square of 65% dark chocolate instead. That'll help you a lot, just a lot, in cutting down the sugar. And one of the things that I have my patients use, and it really works beautifully, and it's a marvelous product. It's by Spry, a company that we've been working with for a long, long time, and they have the most delicious and satisfying mouthwash. And it comes in two different sizes of the spray bottles. That is, you buy one package, and it has a small carry-on thing that you can carry around real easy, and then has a smaller spray or a larger spray bottle. And what the nice thing about it is when you, after you've eaten, you have this brain wave wanting something sweet. If you just spray this Spry mouthwash, and it's sweetened with 100% xylitol, so that when you are satiated, you have this wonderful stopping of the craving of sugar. You can swallow the solution as well, and there are no after effects. So it is, and it's a great mouth freshener as well. It's flavored. It's just one of the most wonderful products. It's called Spry. We have it at our office, and you can sure you can order it online as well. It's just great, and does two things. It freshens your breath, and of course, it kills that craving for something sweet, and that's so marvelous. And then when you have finished swishing around with it, you can swallow it, because there's you don't have to spit it out, because there's nothing detrimental about it. It's just xylitol and flavoring, and it's great. So just the addictive nature of processed carbs sugar is just staggering, because it's staggering. Two-thirds of Americans are now overweight, and one in four are either diabetic or pre-diabetic. And so carb-rich processed foods are a primary driver of these statistics, and while many blame Americans' overindulgence of processed junk foods or lack of self-control, scientists are now starting to reveal the truly addictive nature of such few foods. Recently, researchers at the Boston Children's Hospital concluded that the highly processed carbohydrates stimulate brain regions involved in reward and cravings, promoting excess hunger. And that was reported by the Science Daily. So, these are just some of the things, and I hope you'll go back and listen to that if you've missed it, or review it. And another study shows that the brain doesn't feel full when eating fructose. Now, fructose and high fructose corn syrup, it's a terrific problem. It's a sweetener because it's cheap, and it's used in a wide variety of foods. I think from the pressure of the public, it's starting to get recognized for what it is. And the big thing also that you have to keep in mind, that sugar may be cancer's best friend. And according to the latest World Cancer Report issued by the World Health Organization, cancer is often preventable through lifestyle choices. Sugar is cancer's favorite food, at least some forms of sugar. I mean, some forms of cancer. Cornell University Professor Lewis Cantley believes dietary sugar not only increases your chance of developing cancer, but also worsens the outcome if you already have it. Elevated insulin gives cancer tumors a boost by directing cancer cells to consume glucose. So, that's a huge factor. And, of course, when they do a PET scan, a medical PET scan, the major source of to find the cancer tumor is, of course, glucose, because glucose goes right to the cancer tumor. So, high fructose corn syrup, that's a cheap sweetener derived from corn. It's used in thousands of food products and beverages, most of which have kids as their main product. So, we'll have more information about this, and we can also give you a lot more information on this as coming up, because this is such a huge problem, and the information coming out on sugar is quite stunning as to how much damage it causes, especially in this area with diabetes and pre-diabetes, and then throughout the country, and now throughout the world. Interviewing some people from India recently, and they have a big problem over there with diabetes, where they never, in India for years, for centuries, they never had any problem with diabetes, and now it's just really racking up their country. Of course, it's attributed apparently to the sugar soda waters and the other fast foods. So, this is something to keep in mind, and the nice thing is that you can do something about this. And with just the remedy that I was talking about with the Spry mouthwash, that it's inexpensive. You can carry it with you all the time, and it can really block that craving or satisfy that craving after you've eaten something, a meal, and you want something sweet, which is frequently the case, like you're accustomed to having a dessert, or you've been trained all your life to have something sweet as a reward from the little child on up. Using this Spry mouthwash is a remarkable product, and I strongly recommend it. Well, so this is a dental program that brings you up to date on material and subjects on oral health and systemic disease. I began this program 18 years ago, and oral health and systemic health were not closely connected at that time. But since that time, my, how things have changed. So the first segment, we're going to talk about compelling new evidence of the relationship between oral hygiene and systemic health. Now, our article written by the authors of Dr. Amy Doning, a DNP, and Bradley Dale, an MD, brings this to focus. And I want to preface thing of something. I've talked about it before. And what I've talked about is just the mechanical presence of food. That is, when you eat, you have food lodged around your teeth, and an easy maneuver is just take some liquid, preferably water, and swish around indiscreetly and remove these food particles from around your teeth or appliances or things of that type. And the one of the things that happens, the mechanism is when you leave food particles in your mouth, the bacteria just explode around those food particles and go to town and form a very sophisticated, like a condominium type of connection that starts feasting on the banquet that you left in your mouth. And then the body recognizes this, your body recognizes this, and sends toxic chemicals to attack the bacteria. And the bacteria, if left alone, they're going to cause what we call gingivitis. That's a chronic inflammation of the gums. That's when your teeth bleed and you see that little red line around your gums. And you also, when you go to the dentist, they'll probe and clean your teeth and you have a lot of bleeding. That's gingivitis. And that's reversible and easily managed and prevented. But the body, the interesting thing is the body, when it sends these toxic chemicals to go after these bacteria, it also will sacrifice your own body and start eating up bone if it's left in this chronic state on your teeth. So that's when we're talking about periodontal disease. That's when you lose, periodontal disease is when you lose bone. So the key point here, bleeding gums, that is, if it's nothing more than bleeding gums, that's easily reversed in a very short period of time. And those bleeding gums can be cleared up. But if you leave them, the body is going to use that same process that it's attacking the bacteria around your teeth that's causing the chronic inflammation of the gingivitis. And it's going to start dissolving and eating up the bone that houses your teeth. And that's what we call periodontitis. So I wanted to get that point clear. I've talked about it a lot in the past, but I just wanted to make that clear. So now there's compelling new evidence of the relationship between oral and systemic health, and particularly arterosclerotic vascular disease, which is setting you up for a heart attack and stroke. Now, the two authors, Dr. Amy Doneen and Bradley Bale, they unveiled some of the research underpinning a method in a landmark peer-reviewed publication which demonstrated for the first time that periodontal disease caused by high-risk pathogens is a contributing cause of cardiovascular disease. Now, before, this was never, it was associated with and thought maybe that's a possibility, but there wasn't any real concrete evidence of that. So, the Dr. Danen and Bale explained the critical role and why dentists need to undertake the prevention of heart attacks, strokes, and diabetes with helping patients with their oral health care. And we have one of the real big challenges in dentistry because we present a lot of work. We show people their problems and their plaque accumulation and their bleeding gums. And they are also stained. The bacteria on their teeth that remains is stained. And our hygienists are very, very good at this and developing a management practice or managing program. But a lot of people just don't take it as seriously as they should. So here we now know that periodontal disease affects the majority of Americans age 30 and older. And Cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of morbidity and mortality in the United States. It's the number one cause of death. And based on the results of these two doctors' latest research, we now know that a causal connection exists between these two chronic conditions. So periodontal infections are linked to fewer than 5% of the more than 350 species of microorganisms found in the mouth. And earlier when I referred to high-risk pathogens, when we take a tooth out, an infected tooth, and do a dental DNA examination on that tooth, send it off for a dental DNA diagnosis, we find that there will be 20 to 30 serious medical pathogens. It's like a medical nightmare. And this is frequently an abscess teeth or failing root canal teeth. And so this is what we're talking about with high-risk pathogens. Because a lot of species, 350 species of microorganisms, and that includes yeast and molds and viruses and spirochetes and bacteria. Most of them are normal inhabitants, but 5% or more are really bad bacteria, bad bugs, as we say. So the studies show that the inflammatory response to this infection, which leads to the gradual destruction of the periodontal tissues of the bone housing and ultimately tooth loss. That's just what I was describing about the chronic infection of your gums. And the body is programmed to not only attack those gum tissue infections, but it's also going to wind up removing bone tissue, bone housing. And once you lose that, you can't get it back. It's very, very hard to get back. So results also are shown that adverse systemic effects that promote conditions such as cardiovascular disease are also in response to these bad bacteria. And so, in other words, periodontal disease resulting from these high-risk pathogens, the one I was just talking about, if we do it, that live in infected teeth and infected gums and infected root canals, should be considered causal of arteriosclerotic vascular disease. Now, from a clinical perspective, there's a significant difference from being associated with versus being causal of a disease. Now gets a little tricky. It's a scientific talk. But optimal management of an associated condition may not impact the end disease, which means management of a condition may not impact the end disease, whereas management of a associated disease. Now, management of a causal condition, in this case periodontal disease, would have a favorable effect on the end disease, that is cardiovascular disease. So what that means is, in this situation where the causal condition, in this case being periodontal disease, which means loss of bone housing around teeth, you fix that and you can have a favorable effect on the cardiovascular disease. That's what the findings in their study show. And this has been thought to be for a long time, but now this data has come out. So we can now, as dentists, play a critical role in the prevention of heart attacks and strokes by understanding that periodontal disease due to these high-risk pathogens, the bad bugs that I was talking about, that we know live in the mouth and live in infected teeth and failing root canals and abscess teeth and bone loss pockets. It's a cause of arterial disease, and therefore, we really need to help our patients make a commitment to manage this form of periodontal disease. Now, the mechanism of this, with the technology and all, was published in the Postgraduate Medical Journal. And they go into the scientific end of three steps of how that happened. So this is very interesting, because this is a further direction for the public to understand that this is really serious business when you allow chronic infections such as gingivitis or chronic infection of bone loss called periodontal disease to persist, and you don't take it seriously about brushing and flossing and taking care of your tissues. So it is through this scientific evidence that we can now distinguish periodontal pathogens, bad bugs, to be a contributory cause of atherosclerosis. Now, that's huge. We always, heart surgeons would say that when they removed the plaque from bypass surgery and they had it analyzed, they would always find mouth bugs, mouth bad pathogens in these plaques. So there was assumed that it was causing trouble, but there was never really a tie-in. But here, this article and these doctors are tying this all together. So the causality of periodontal disease for atherosclerotic vascular disease places it on an equal playing field with all root causes of atherosclerotic vascular disease, such as cholesterol, hypertension, and nicotine. However, recognizing that periodontal disease due to high-risk pathogens, bad bugs, is a contributory cause rather than simply associated with atherosclerotic vascular disease demands proper clinical diagnostics and an effective therapeutic plan for management of these pathogens and this type of periodontal disease. And this is so important. This type of periodontal disease is a medical condition with a dental solution. So let me repeat that. This type of periodontal disease caused by these high-risk pathogens is a medical condition with a dental solution. That is huge, just huge. So we as healthcare providers, as dentists, we can help people and show people the measures necessary to prevent heart attacks, ischemic strokes, and type 2 diabetes. So keep in mind that we dentists can help you with this. And, of course, we've talked about this a lot with sleep disordered breathing and having when you're holding your breath. And I wanted to clear up one thing. I have really gotten so involved in this now, because as I went to courses and found out and started really, really looking, even though I've been treating sleep disordered breathing for 30 or 40 years, we found out that the things that we have to diagnosis are much different than we used to have. And the problem is huge. It's huge in the public. So everybody that comes into my office gets the hygienist examine them for the throat configuration, the shape of the soft palate in the back, and then I examine them as well for the same problem. And then we have a sleep study screening device, and this is a free service that we offer to our patients. And because under Texas legislation law, we dentists cannot diagnose sleep apnea. We have to screen it. We can screen it, and we can refer to a sleep-trained MD, for diagnosis. So the physician has to diagnose, but we as dentists can treat. We can screen for it, and in certain cases, we can treat after the diagnosis has been made by the physician. Now, I wanted to bring that up because we had a couple of people call and they wanted the free screening device. The free screening device is a service to our patients, and it comes only with, that is when it's of no charge, it only comes with a complete examination of a person's oral cavity. And the reason for that is there are so many conditions associated with sleep disordered breathing, or sleep fractured breathing, who have several different terms, and other healthcare issues, that is not doing a service, proper service, by just giving you a device like this and letting you determine on your own. So I wanted to clear that up. We offer this free screening device. You put it on your, it's like a wristwatch. You put it on your wrist, sleep with it two nights in a row. There's a finger oximeter. It's very effective. It's very, shows when you're holding your breath. It shows what your oxygen saturation is, shows what's happening to your heart, shows the amount of events that you have. It's very helpful in screening. But this is only available with a paid examination with our patients. And, of course, when the person said, well, she loves her dentist, but she didn't want to change the dentist or so on. Well, what you have to keep in mind is that that's fine. That is just not an interest of that particular dentist, possibly is not a particular interest for him. So I just wanted to make that clear, because this is a huge problem. A lot of medical issues are treated with pharmaceuticals, and it's actually a mechanical problem, that is the shape of the throat. We've had on Dr. Grunspan on a couple of times. We've had Dr. Jose Barrera, who's a world-famous ear, nose, and throat surgeon, talking about this. So there are solutions. Dental appliances have offer another solution in mild to moderate cases, but dental appliances must be monitored very carefully, because they're in effect orthodontic appliances, and they'll move your teeth all over the place. And so, and this is not an easy subject to, it's not an easy subject to diagnose and treat, but it is a huge value to a patient, because there are so many comorbidities, we call them, associated with sleep disordered breathing. So I just wanted to clear that up. That on the availability of this sleep screening device. Dentists can screen. We cannot diagnose. Only in Texas, only a board-certified or a medical sleep doctor can do the diagnosis. And after the diagnosis and a sleep study is done, then a dentist can become involved with the solution. Solutions involve the CPAP, doing nothing, or doing a CPAP, or having a dental device made, or having surgery done to the back of the throat and the oropharyngeal area. So there are solutions. It can really change your life. It can make a huge difference in your health and your aging and how good you feel. So we're really fortunate to be part of this, and dentistry is taking a strong position on this as well. So we're pretty soon, and I'll bring you more information on this, and our study club, we're going to have two of the preeminent people that are going to be talking about the opioid problem, which apparently they've registered 50,000 people that die a year on the overdose of opioids. And it comes from the findings show that oral surgeons and oral surgery procedures, and the prescription of opioids is a major source of people getting hooked on these opioids. So we're going to have a lot more information on this. It's pretty serious. We've talked about it in dentistry before, and now it's hitting the major mainstream media and government conditions, and I'll be bringing you some interesting information on this coming up in the future. So back to the oral health and preventing systemic disease. Studies published in 2015 and 2016 confirmed that poor oral health can result in disorders ranging from stroke and pancreatic cancer to obesity. So compounds that help safeguard against periodontal disease. Now, periodontal disease that we were just talking about affects about 70% of adult Americans age 65 and older. So oral health affects the whole body. That's the whole point. That's the bottom line. Common diseases can be worsened by poor oral health. Taking care of your mouth is an important part of a longevity program. And we've talked about gingivitis, inflammatory response that affects the gums. It's reversible. It's easily reversible. 2 weeks and you can have it all cleared up. And then chronic oral inflammation is now linked to numerous systemic disorders. In 2016, researchers published an investigation into toothbrushing and body size involving 15,666 individuals. And this study reported that the risk of obesity, abdominal obesity, and high percentage of body fat was higher in individuals with a lower daily frequency of toothbrushing and usage of secondary oral products. Doesn't mean that it causes it, but there was a connection. Periodontitis, and that's a disease of the gums and bones and loss of bone housing around your teeth, induces inflammatory cytokines, which are signaling compounds, and may contribute to obesity by elevating C-reactive protein, which in turn causes fat cells to store more fat and burn less sugar. Now, is cancer, a study released in November 2016 in the International Journal of Cancer, suggested that periodontal disease is a risk factor for non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Also in 2016, three of the studies found that periodontal disease increased the risk of developing colorectal, lung, and pancreatic cancer. Harvard researchers found a history of periodontal disease increased in pancreatic cancer risk. And an 18-year study on over 48,000 men found significant associations between oral health status and pancreatic cancer, as well as lung, kidney, and blood cancers. This latter study also found a link between periodontal disease and greater overall risk of cancer, even in those who've never smoked. In 2016, studies found an association between diagnosed periodontitis, that's the bone loss, and the risk of ischemic stroke and of mortality from all causes, including cardiovascular disease. A 26-year study published in 2015 concluded that gingival inflammation, it's the one that's reversible, is associated with stroke risk. And that results emphasize the role of oral health personnel in prevention of stroke. Well, it goes on and on. An earlier review concluded that periodontal disease among older people correlates with increased risk of systemic diseases, including heart attack, stroke, and diabetes mellitus. So, you know, what's so interesting is with a toothbrush, which is pretty doggone cheap, toothpaste, and some string called floss, you can cut this risk way, way down. if this data is accurate and it's coming out constantly. The data is showing that, and these studies is constantly coming out, verifying what we've always thought was the case, but now they're getting technology that shows that this is the real deal. There is a connection in oral health and systemic health. And when you have oral infection, gingivitis, or periodontitis, which is infection of the bone and loss of the bone. Gingivitis is inflammation, chronic inflammation of the gums, which is reversible. Periodontitis is not. You can manage it. You can hold it down, but you cannot get that bone back. We are having some luck with grafting procedures. It looks like you can, in the future we'll be able to more predictably get some of that bone back. For the most part right now, you can't get that bone back. So what's the bottom line? It's real simple. Just brush and floss and get a management technique for brushing and flossing, prescribed and with the help of your hygienist or dentist, and we're more than happy to do this. Our hygienists spend so much time developing a program, a very compelling program for personalized oral health care, so that we can improve the outcomes of these problems that we're talking about and help you live longer, help you live healthier, just by doing something really, really simple, and that's brushing and flossing. It is so, you don't have to have expensive treatment done. You just follow the directions, the careful instructions of our hygienist and a dentist. We can develop a personalized oral health care that will pay off such huge dividends. And that's one of the things people don't understand. They'll stay away from the dentist for 10, 15, 20 years, and then they come in and have all kinds of work to be done and say, my gosh, that's so expensive. Well, yeah, when you let things go and run down, getting everything rehabilitated is a problem. But if you stay up on top of it, if you have regular examinations and regular treatment, it eliminates all of these expensive things. And here's the key thing. Your teeth are programmed to last you 80 plus years, but they can't do it without some help. Once in a while, we'll get somebody who hasn't had any dental treatment. I mean, it's pretty rare too. And they don't go to the dentist, but irregularly, and they still, through genetics, are growing up in a fluoridated, naturally fluoridated water area like West Texas. They have marvelous teeth. But that, I promise you, that is really, really rare. And so most people have a lot of dental treatment and through the years, and it takes its toll on these teeth that are supposed to last 80 plus years. So one of the things that I'm doing, and I've just will have it ready in place at the end of this month, maybe a little sooner, is a scanner. Now, a scanner, they've been around for a long time. They've been around for 20 or 30 years, but the technology was never the ideal. Now we have a scanner, there are multiple companies that have scanners, and I'm putting one in the office coming up this month to where we won't have to take the impressions when we prepare a tooth. You just use this scanner a digital scanner of the tooth, and it's much more accurate than impressions. It is, there's nothing in your mouth to gag you or cause claustrophobia or anything like this. It is, the technology has really arrived, especially this year, when a lot of these companies started improving their technology. There are about six companies, or maybe there be a few more if you count worldwide, that are going to this technology. There are not a lot of dentists yet that are using this, but about 20,000 dentists out of 150,000, but it's coming on strong. Lab technicians love it because it's so accurate. It's accurate. The accuracy is almost unbelievable. Patients love it because they don't have to have these yucky impression materials in their mouth anymore. And it takes about a minute to do even a whole mouth of scanning. This is, the technology is just so much fun. And that's one of the things in my office. I've been in practice a long time and I love technology, but I'm not the first to pick up new technology. I'll usually wait and study and see when the improvements get to the point where you really have to, can deliver something of value to the patient. That's what this is. It is so much value delivered to the patient because of the ease of taking and the accuracy of taking these pictures of the teeth. Say we prepare a tooth for a crown or a bridge or so on. To be able to take and scan this with accuracy down to a micron, which is unheard of. We usually work in about a 50 micron arena with impressions, and but here we're down to a micron. Is staggering, just staggering. And the accuracy, and then the other thing about implants, we do a lot of dental implants, and they have the technology now that we just screw on a little device, a measuring device, and scan it. We don't have to take the impression. This is wildly wonderful, I'll tell you. Just absolutely wonderful to be able to take the scanner and do these things, and then one of the big things, we can take the scanner that I have is going to take 6,000 frames per second, and it's small and it's portable, and the patients usually don't even know that they're going to have this done or had it done. Now, one of the things that's so neat is it has a time-lapse feature that allows the dentist and the patient to compare two scans from different times to highlight changes. So if we take this once a year, for instance, and the hygienist takes a scan of the teeth, and then you come back the next year, we scan it again, it's stored, and it will show if there's been any trauma or any stress on these teeth, any wear points on your teeth, what's happening. It shows how changes the position of your teeth, the wear on your teeth, and that's all recorded and is kept for you, and it goes on. We take this every year, and it's just stunning how we can have that information for our patient's benefit. And so then it fits into the orthodontic treatment, the Invisalign especially, because we can take a scan of your mouth, and in just a few moments, we can show you exactly what your teeth could look like if the correction were made with Invisalign and straightening your teeth. And the features just go on and on and on. But the neat thing is the patients love it because they don't have these impression materials in their mouth for several minutes, and the accuracy, it's much more accurate. Oh my gosh, it's really, really wonderful. And again, this is for the patient's benefit, cutting down on the time, the accuracy. It's just fantastic what we have as far as the technology that's coming up. And we're getting new technology every year. When I started out, 20 years would go by and nothing much would happen as far as technology. And now, oh my gosh, now the technology is just racing out every year. And it's quite rewarding for the patients because they're getting the benefit of all of these things. And then, of course, the NuCom. The NuCom is a system. It's a relaxation system that we use in our office. It is so wonderful. It's the world's only patented neuroscience-based relaxation technology. And it just consists of four things. It consists of a headphone that has a special audio system in it, has a FDA-approved microcurrent stimulation device, a millionth of an ampere, and then there are nutritional supplements that induce a calming effect on the adrenal glands. So NuCom can switch off the human stress response in about 3 to 5 minutes. It rejuvenates the mind and the body, and it's great for anxious patients. We use it on just about all of our patients, and they love it. It's like meditation in a box, and who couldn't use a little speedy, consistent relaxation? The device has been cleared by the FDA for the treatment of anxiety, depression, and insomnia. So this is another feature that you get, and we've been using this for years and years in our office. And it's been improved and improved, and we still have some more fabulous improvements coming down the road and just around the corner. So this is something to make your dental visit the most comfortable. That's one of the things that we work on, is making your dental visit the most comfortable dental visit that you've ever experienced in your life. We're in a no-pain zone. We're in a no-fear zone. And then we have these features that we can handle just about any fear or anxiety situation that people have. We can handle these and have wonderful dental outcomes in a comfort level that you've never thought was possible before. So that's with NuCom, and then, of course, we have other systems that help as well and can take it to a new level. And that's at the office of Dr. Staffel and Associates, and our number is 210-341-2569, 210-341-2569, and give us a call, talk to Beth or Priscilla, and we will show you some things that are just so remarkable as far as getting your health, adding to your health benefits, getting your mouth healthy, and how that can impact the rest of your systemic health. We can always do this in a state of comfort. We never make fun of you. We never try to embarrass you or make you think that you should have been here 10 or 20 years ago. We never do that. Never embarrass you. We never, ever embarrass you. We always help you to get to the end result of having a wonderful experience. Number one, having a great outcome and getting your mouth healthy, healthy, healthy. And as a result, now we have the data that not only is your mouth going to be healthy, but it can have a major effect on your systemic health. The data just keeps piling up to show that before we just thought it was something, it was probably a cause, that there was something together there, but now we know from the data and the research that's being published in peer-reviewed journals that it's the real thing. Oral health, there's just nothing as valuable as oral health, and you can get there really easy just with brushing and flossing, and getting your teeth cleaned as needed on a regular basis. So now there's one other thing about the federal government. They made a they published in their 2015-2020 Dietary Guidelines for Americans. They put in that you use sugars only in moderation or healthy eating patterns sections, but there is no longer any reference to flossing. Now, this is the federal government in 2015 and 2020 Dietary Guidelines for Americans. They no longer make any reference to flossing. Now, the omission is unbelievable. And, of course, the first thing is, hooray, we don't have to floss anymore. We don't want to floss anymore. We knew we were always right. In the midst of it all, the constant steady voice of reason, oral health professionals urging patients to continue the age-old practice of leaving multitudes to scratch their heads in bewilderment to floss or not to floss. Well, this is a major faux pas of the federal government. You have to floss in order to remove the plaque around the teeth and below the gum line. And because your toothbrush can't get in there, it's obvious. Your toothbrush cannot get between your teeth. Toothbrush cleans only 40% of the tooth. The rest of it is cleaned by the floss. So you need to get something in there to mechanically remove the plaque. And the federal government along, again, blew it. And where this comes from, I don't know. Or what the source of their thinking was. But it's another bogus government thing. The concept of using no floss will lead to potential disaster. So I just wanted to touch base with that so that you would be up to date. That's one of the values of listening to the show is you're going to get new information. You're going to get reinforced information. You're going to learn about oral health and systemic health. And that's why you want to be listening to this show, Dr. Staffel, our program, and Your Smile Matters, and be listening every Sunday, 4 to 5 p.m. Or you can also catch these programs on the podcast, staffelDDS.podomatic.com. It's a free podcast. We have over 8 years archived in there, a lot of interesting information, but we're bringing you, as you can probably tell if you're a regular listener, we're bringing you more and more up-to-date, powerful, powerful information on your oral health and your systemic health, how to live longer, how to have better aging outcomes, what you can do to slow down the aging process. None of us are going to get out of here alive, yes, but you can certainly slow down the aging process. But as your body ages, you're going to have to take some special maneuvers. And one of those maneuvers regards supplements. And supplements, we know the medical industry and the medical profession didn't believe much in vitamins and supplements, but that's changing. They now know that everybody needs to take D. Now they should know that it's D3 plus K2. Everybody should take vitamin C. Now we know that we should be taking B12, liquid form. And it goes on and on and on. So the resistance to vitamins and supplementation is slowly breaking down in the medical field. Listen to the show and you can stay up with a lot of the things that need to be brought to your attention. Thank you so much for listening. It's just an honor that you would listen to us. And we'll be back next week with a lot of wonderful information again. Thank you. Bye-bye.